Leftists should care about self-improvement, actually. Now, I know what you're thinking. Isn't self-improvement kind of the opposite of what leftists believe? Isn't hustle culture an individualistic pursuit designed to make us blame ourselves for society's failings and sell us overpriced slop we don't need? The answer is yes, it absolutely is. And yet, I still think self-improvement is a tremendously powerful tool that the left has left entirely untapped. Because if you study history, you'll see that some of the most famous and successful revolutionaries were actually obsessed with self-improvement. Just not in the way that we think of it today. So as someone who enthusiastically took the red pill in my younger years and came out the other side, I want to offer my thoughts on how the left can rethink its relationship to self-improvement. In order to clarify my position, I'm going to juxtapose capitalist hustle culture with my post-capitalist vision for self-improvement. I guess we could call it like revolutionary discipline or like radical self-development. I don't know. I don't have a pithy phrase for this. If you have one, throw it in the comments, I guess. The first contrast I want to talk about is the contrast between individualism and collectivism. Our sort of neoliberal understanding of self-improvement teaches us that nobody owes you anything and it's your job to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Now, this is actually true to a certain extent. Our society is designed in such a way that if you fail and slip through the cracks, you're screwed. But, you know, is that a good thing? Is that the natural way of the world? Or is that a political choice that we've made? I don't know. Neoliberalism says, fix yourself because the world won't save you. I say, fix yourself because you need to save the world. One is isolating, one is totally individualistic, the other is empowering. The second difference between our current understanding of self-improvement and this new vision of self-improvement that I'm proposing, I have to emphasize this one because it's incredibly important. When I talk about self-improvement, a lot of people are worried that what I'm veering into is what we call respectability politics. The idea that we need to look and act a certain way in order to be appealing to the ruling class. We need to fit into what society deems acceptable so that our radical ideas can be more palatable in elite spaces. But here's the thing, our ideas are never going to be palatable in elite spaces, no matter how much we comb our hair, no matter whether you take out the nose ring or leave it in. They'll never accept you. You'll never be one of them because your ideas are anathema to what the ruling class needs, which is an ideology that is going to legitimate the continued accumulation of capital, the continued imperialism, the continued exploitation of billions of people. So critically, when I talk about self-improvement, when I talk about bettering ourselves, when I talk about becoming respectable, I mean respectable to workers. I mean respectable to the working class. I don't mean respectable to the ruling class. I mean that if you're a leftist, if you're somebody who criticizes capitalism, the only thing that separates you from your fellow workers is that you woke up. You're early to the party. And that gives you a certain level of responsibility to be a leader, to become an example that other people are going to want to emulate. Because when I look at some leftists, they're not people that I want to emulate. Becoming somebody that's worthy of respect, that can communicate their ideas in a clear and legible way. That's a big part of what I do on this channel. That's why I make so many videos about rhetoric breakdowns. That's why I make self-improvement videos ultimately, is because I want leftists to become more capable. And I want leftists to become people who are pillars of their community, who are looked up to, people who can be relied upon. It's also a reason that I run a YouTube coaching program, because I want leftists to be able to communicate better on the internet. I want them to be able to get their message out there. I want a wide variety of people so that whatever type of person you are, there's somebody speaking to you in your unique circumstances. So that's the point of contrast number two. This is not about respectability politics. This is not about being accepted by the ruling class. It's about becoming leaders to the working class. The third point of contrast between our mainstream modern conception of self-help and this kind of older traditional leftist form of self-improvement has to do with consumerism. Because the modern self-help industry is essentially an elaborate marketing scheme to sell supplements and courses. And I think that's what gets a lot of leftists turned off from the concept, because they rightly recognize that in its present form, it's essentially just a big pyramid scheme. And all this stuff, I think, leads leftists to just like endlessly critique online. It leads to a very passive worldview. But what they don't talk about is the actual core habits of self-improvement are valid, good stuff that you should be doing. And a lot of it can be done for free or very low cost. We can create communal ways of holding ourselves accountable, of bettering ourselves, of studying, of learning, of getting involved that aren't elaborate scams to sell supplements, and that actually bring people together instead of driving them further apart and making them feel like they have to compete as individuals in this like global marketplace. That's why I created Vanguard. It's a free private community for leftists who want to get educated and organized. Because I realize if you're a new leftist and you don't know where to start, there's like nothing for you. It's insane. I'll leave a link to that down below. Fundamentally, what we're talking about here is a philosophy of action, a philosophy of deeds, not of words. And that's what I think is really missing on the left right now. You don't get any points for being intellectually correct. You are judged by what you do. That's fundamentally what makes up your life. What's our ultimate aim here? What's the goal? And I think a lot of people just like to talk for the sake of talking. That's what I think is so useful about self-improvement. It gets you thinking in terms of results oriented. It gets you thinking in terms of trying to level up and increase your output. Trying to do more, trying to make something happen, trying to change your life, and by extension, change the world. And I think on the left, so often, like, our analysis of things systemically gets in the way of us actually, like, being effective people. Because systemic analysis and the ability to see how society affects the way that people live and affects outcomes is useful, but it paralyzes you, right? Like, you may have been victimized, but that doesn't mean that you have to be a victim forever. That's what leftist organizing at its most powerful can do, is it can help people actually take their power back. But I think there's kind of this attitude on the left that almost like telling people to get involved, telling people to do stuff is somehow wrong. There's a complicated intellectual reason why they can't, and it's actually bigoted to tell them that they should. Whenever I advocate for working out, people are like, well, that's ableist. It's like, no, it's really not, actually. I know plenty of disabled people who like to work out. Actually, I'm going to outwoke you there and say it's ableist of you to imply that disabled people couldn't take control over their fitness. That doesn't change the fact that, like, you should be getting fit, whatever your capability is. You should be reading theory. Oh, well, I have ADHD. Sure, that's fine. Whatever that looks like for you. Maybe it's one page. Maybe you need to do audiobooks. I trust you to take my advice and apply it to your own circumstances in a way that makes sense, rather than try and castigate anybody who tries to help you get better as some kind of hard-charging, grind-set psycho. Sorry, this is actually what it would look like if we were to take politics seriously. We would be demanding things of ourselves. We would be trying to push past our limits. And if we're not willing to do that, I mean, you might as well just pack it up, right? By the way, if you think I'm being unfair, you're right. I am. None of this is fair, but it is reality. And if you want to change reality, you have to accept it first. Faith without works is dead. Theory without practice is sterile. The last distinction that I want to draw between neoliberal self-improvement and leftist self-improvement is the idea of self-mastery. Because capitalism leaves us alienated from our own potential. Under capitalism, you're trying to become a more efficient cog in the machine. You are a project that's never finished. You're optimizing forever. The leftist idea is that we're living in a hostile system that we have to take our power back. We need to learn the skills necessary to survive long enough to challenge that system. So I want to talk about a few case studies now before we close out. The first of which being Vladimir Lenin. Regardless of what you think about the guy, he was on top of his business. He wasn't just a thinker, he was also physically and mentally tough. He was exiled multiple times. He survived assassination attempts. He would work constantly even while sick. Even if you don't like how the Soviet Union ultimately turned out, there's a lot to be learned from him. He was kind of the archetype of rigor and discipline. But revolution isn't just about competence, it's also about reshaping ourselves. It's about becoming a new type of person. And I don't think there's anybody who exemplifies that better than Che Guevara. If you read his essay, Socialism and Man in Cuba, he talks about how revolution not just transformed the politics and the economy of a place, but also the people who live there. The process of revolution transforms the people who participate in it. Because it demands that you shed your selfishness, that you cultivate solidarity, that you endure hardship, new habits, new consciousness. You know, I don't agree with Che 100%. I think his focus on moral incentives was a little bit idealistic. But it's undeniable that he practiced what he preached. He really did embody this kind of new man. I mean, he would constantly train in the mountains, go for long runs, at high altitude, fighting a guerrilla war for like 5 years, and the guy had asthma. If Che Guevara was alive today, do you think he'd be on Twitter calling somebody ableist for telling him to work out? Actually, I have asthma. Telling me to run. Yeah, I don't think so. Again, you don't have to agree with Lenin or Che on everything, but it does behoove us to study the people who were successful and prolific, because by definition, they have a lot to teach us. And they really force us to ask the question, what am I doing to make myself into the type of person that this movement needs? That's the real purpose of self-improvement, I think, at the end of the day. It's not like to get rich. That's a kind of a capitalist bastardization of the idea. The purpose of self-improvement is to become a new person. It's to become reborn. It's to constantly recreate yourself. As people who strive to imagine a new world, who are trying to build a new type of society that's never been seen before, who are trying to push humanity to new heights, that task demands that we change as people. This process is going to change you whether you like it to or not. The question is, are you going to be broken by this? Or are you going to rise from the ashes? Because most people never even try. Most people engage in pseudo-politics on the World Wide Web. Self-improvement isn't a distraction from leftist politics, or at least doesn't have to be. In fact, it's a prerequisite for it. At the end of the day, I think that leftist self-improvement can actually be more powerful or make more sense than neoliberal self-improvement, because it has kind of a purposeful dimension to it. Dare I say a spiritual dimension that they actually lack. Because why do self-improvement under capitalism? So that you can make $10,000 a month passively and like go on podcasts in Miami. These people always like want to be so based and pretend that they have like a path out of the sort of spiritual nihilism of modernity, but they don't. Whereas if you're trying to improve yourself so that you can actually improve the world, that's something that you can hang your hat on. That's something that has the potential to actually give you purpose long term. It's funny, right? Because a lot of my videos are basically self-help videos. I come across more as like a red pill guy than a bread tuber. A lot of people say that, at least. And I'm aware of that, and I actually take it as a compliment, because I think it's time to kind of steal their thunder a little bit. And what I really want to promote on the left is a culture of action and a culture of excellence, not a culture of intellectual hair splitting or like speech policing. You know, Marx and Engels write about the productive forces, the idea that the productive forces need to be developed. And they thought that capitalism would need to progress to a certain point before the revolution could take place. And I kind of see self-improvement in a similar way. Developing the personal forces, right? Developing your personal capabilities needs to take place before you can become an effective organizer. You know, rhetoric skills, basic financial stability, being in good shape. This is the bare minimum stuff that we need to be doing. So I want to give leftists the practical resources to do that instead of just being somebody who sits online all day and like dunks on chuds or whatever. I think that's what the left needs in this new chapter. We need many different voices that can speak to different types of people who can broaden the conversation. It's time to really shake things up. If you think you have what it takes, if you want to get your voice out there, if you want to start communicating in a different type of way and add your unique voice to the conversation, build an audience who actually cares about what you have to think, start doing work that's actually creative and meaningful for you, then I'd love to talk to you. Click the first link in the description to apply for a free YouTube coaching call. The left needs many different types of people, so I'm super excited to talk to you. Until next time, a better world is possible.